May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us this morning as we look into His Word, as we continue our worship together this morning. The children introduced the sermon this morning. I guess it's probably that way for the other brothers as they share, but as you have a message that's on your heart, it's amazing how throughout the service, the Lord, there's a lot of things that point towards that. What I have to share this morning, or at least in the somewhat of an introduction, I feel like I need some of what I have to share relates to a discussion that Brother Henry and Ethan and I had here a while ago, the other week, I guess it was. We had a discussion about being victorious and overcoming temptations, and I think it was either Ethan or Henry, I'm not sure which, but they made an illustration, and I would like to look at that a little bit this morning. How many of us have ever made something? The children, even the children have made things, right? We started at a young age, and at our family, the girls like to make cards and draw pictures and give it to Charlotte and I and others. They make things. As you get older, maybe instead of little notes and cards, maybe it's the girls start to bake cookies and the boys, you ever make a birdhouse or think about how fun it would be to make something? That's a good thing. After we make something, little, big, whatever it is, even adults, we usually look at it and we assess it, you know. Is it going to do what we want it to do? Is everything right? And sometimes we need to tweak it. The ladies make dresses or food or whatever, and you need to adjust it a little bit. But once it's all done, and there's a sense of satisfaction, that's it. We accomplished what we wanted to. We made what we wanted to make. And there's a sense of satisfaction. There's a blessing that we get from that. I brought a little, you know what this is? Even the children know what that is, right? It's a light bulb. You think I made that? Probably not, right? It's smooth. It's almost perfect. It looks perfect. It's got the little silver ring at the bottom. If you screw it in to the right outlet, what's going to happen to it? One of the children tell me, what's going to happen if you screw it in, Laramie?
If the bulb's right, if there's electric there,
if everything's right, it's going to turn on. But what happens if I push the little switch? Turns on, right? And if you turn it the other way, it turns off. So you turn it on, you turn it off. The little switch is what makes the light. If we've never seen a light bulb before, if we never saw lights before, and it was probably what, 150 years ago, they didn't know what light bulbs were. It's close to that. I think it was in the late 1800s, that they were created, that they were designed or found, maybe you'd say. But if we've never seen a light bulb before, that would be impressive. And if I would have told you that I made that, and you actually believed it, there would be a sense of it would do something to me, right? It would do something to you if you actually made this fancy little thing and And you demonstrated and it worked. And I am the originator of it. I designed it. It would bring honor and glory to the maker, whoever made it. And Thomas Edison did that with his team. He studied and studied and worked and worked, and with I'm sure with the help of others, they did develop the light bulb. Now we have the light bulb and this little Ethan's little work light, and when you slide the switch over, the light turns on. And when you tire it the other way, it turns off. It's pretty neat. But if I did that 500 times, you'd be wondering what's next, right? It is impressive, and it's interesting, it's nice, it's helpful. But there's something limited in that, because it just does what you tell it to do. You slide it over and it turns on, you slide it off and it turns off. And that's about the extent of it. There's some similarities, and that's what I'd like to get to this morning. God, we have this light bulb, and it gives light when we turn it on. It stops shining when you turn it off, and it's wonderful, but it's limited. It's limited because it just does what it's programmed to do. Now, there's a lot of things in nature that God made that just do what they're supposed to do. Do you think the little Tweety birds wake up in the morning? And I think they're programmed to fly out in the limb and sing. Whether it's cold or whether it's hot or whatever, they are doing what God programmed them to do. Flowers are blooming. Very beautiful. Do you notice the sunrise the last couple days? And the sun sets in the evening. Amazing. Very, very beautiful. I think of sometimes, I don't know why, but it seems like sometimes it's off on a Sunday morning. Maybe that's because I have more time to notice it. But the frosty trees and the sun's coming up, it's just amazing. Very, very beautiful. And those things are wonderful. God created them, and God created them to bring honor and glory to Him. But without a choice of its own, I shouldn't reword that, without a choice of their own, they honor God. And they bring glory to God. Now, I'd like to take this a step further. Why did God create the earth? Pretty simple question. I think we all know the answer, that God created the earth. God created man to bring honor and glory to Him. And He programmed the sunrise and the sunset. He programmed all that. He made the flowers. The Garden of Eden, He made all those wonderful, beautiful things. And stood back and said that it was good. And then what did He do? I think, in my human mind, I think God said, there's more yet. There's got to be more. Please forgive me, in my humanity, I'm just describing an illustration or a picture. I'm sure God didn't say this, but I would like to imagine that He said, okay, we made the sun, we made the stars, we made all this. Wouldn't it be really something to make something that had a choice? That they would choose on their own. We would give them all the instructions, all the help that they need, and then they would choose on their own to do what we want them to do. Now that would be, wouldn't that be something? Imagine, I can't even, so far beyond me, first I can't make anything, and secondly to actually make something like that is completely beyond us, but I can kind of grasp that that would be amazing if you could really do that. To actually have something that you could sort of share your heart with, and then in return they would pick it up and they would connect with you and they would have the same passions and they would have the same goals and they would see like the bigger picture that I have, and together, that would really bring honor and glory to me, to God. I think I'm sure that God didn't actually say that, but it's helpful for me to think of it in that way when he created man. Let's go back to this light. And imagine if you put within this bulb the ability to light. It was not required or forced to turn on, but you gave it all the energy and the instruction, the teaching and resources to light it up. Gave it everything it needs. And when it was supposed to light, how it's supposed to do it, but only if it wanted to do it. Now, as we think about this, you know, we talk about it. I'm imagining before this actually happened, again, I'm thinking from man's perspective, but maybe we talk about this and let's design and create this. And so they think about it and then it's time to do it. And they create man. And you send them out. And again, I'm thinking in human terms, but you made this little light and you gave it everything it needed, and then you sent it out. Is it going to work? Is this going to work? Do you think it'll actually choose to do what I want it to do? Maybe the sun is shining, and you can't see the light as well, but as the light begins to fade, and as the pressures of life start to be applied, and they bear down, and it begins to get dark, are the lights working? Any lights on? There's a light over in the corner. It's kind of dark, but it comes to light. Can you imagine with me the glory, the honor that God gets? There's another one. It lights up. It's a dark corner. It didn't have to do that, but it's choosing to do that. All of us, that really can bring honor and glory to its creator. Definitely couldn't have been me, but its creator. And in the illustration, you know, it would be God. One more little step in this illustration. All of us want to be a light. We want our bulbs to be the one that's shining in the dark, right? All of us, we know that. We want to be a light. I want to be a light. We want to do what God is asking of us. But there's an important thing that decides whether our light is going to shine or not. Is the light shining? It's not shining, is it? What do we got to do? Well, I think we're going to have to slide that little switch over. And the light turns on. Okay? This is really elementary, but I'd like to say that this is our choice. Do the animals get to decide if they're going to glorify God or not? I don't think they do. God didn't create them with a soul and with the opportunity to choose like that. So that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. The word is choice, and the title is, are you going to turn your light on? Imagine ourselves in that setting. It's been going on for years, but today is another opportunity, and he sends the little lights out. We're supposed to be the lights, brothers and sisters. And the world's dark. It's getting dark. It's getting darker. And also the pressures of life are part of that darkness. And I'd like to even say this morning that do you face frustrations in life? Is there things that happen to you that that bring stress? God is still calling people to choose. We need to be faithful in choosing right. I wanted to bring out a couple illustrations in the Bible, but we hardly have time. The Garden of Eden was the first choice. Genesis, is it chapter 1, 2? Chapter 2, verse 17, God creates the garden and he puts all the trees there and he says, take care of it, but that one tree, you can't eat of that tree. Don't do that. And that's all he says about that. Pretty simple. Genesis 2:17, it just says, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he moves right on to the next subject. So, we have a choice there. That was an audible, I think it was audible when God told them that. Joshua, in his farewell speech to the children of Israel, he says, choose you this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Naomi says to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Okay. What? Should I go back or should I stay? A choice. Jesus told the rich young ruler, one thing thou lackest. Go your way, sell everything that you have, and give it to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. What am I going to do now? I was faced with a choice. These are audible choices. These are audible. I think God spoke, these people were spoken to. However, more frequently, we face those kind of decisions today for sure. But we also face a different kind of call to make a choice. And this is, I guess, really what I'd maybe like to narrow it down to a little bit this morning. Do I recognize pressure, stress, challenges, frustrations, difficulties that I face in life? Do I view them as an opportunity to bring glory to God? Or I view them as, this is happening again. I can't believe it. I'm so sick and tired of this. This just can't go on. I've got to change something. I'm done. I'm sick of it. Can't put up with this anymore. Excuse me, but that's some of my thoughts. I know what that's like. When all the while, the little light was out in the dark. And God knew it was dark. And he left that darkness there to bring glory and honor to him. And here I am, sick of it. I'm tired of it. What am I saying? Is it fair to say that I'm tired of this plan? I don't really want to bring glory to God. I'm just tired of this. I wonder. I'd like to draw a few thoughts from James chapter 4. Turn your Bible to James 4. And I'd just like to... I was going to read down over it, but maybe we'll skip that for now. There's a couple things that I'd like to learn. Actually, let's do read it. It's definitely worth reading, for sure. James chapter 4. And as we read this chapter, let's remember to the focus is our choice to follow God. We have to choose to follow God rather than focusing on the trials and frustrations. Slide that switch the other way when that pressure comes in life and ask God to help us to use this to glorify him. Chapter 4 of James, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war against, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask amiss, and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, and appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I have a couple points here. I don't know how many we'll get over, but we'll get started. Verse 1. Remember our focus this morning. What I'd really like, let's go back to that little example. I know what it's like to be out in the corner. I mean, all of us have experienced different degrees of pressure in life. We're all on different paths. So I'm not claiming at all to have experienced more than other people. But we all know what it's like to be out there, and the stress and the pressure of life starts to push down on us. At a time like that, how do you get the power to do this? That was Henry and Ethan and I were talking about it. That was kind of the source of, you know, you face temptations and do you know what it feels like that, yeah, I know what the right thing is to do, but I'm not interested right now. I want to do my own thing. I want to do it my way. I know I should do the other, but I just don't want to. What do we do, and what do we use? How do we get from that point? Where do we get the strength to slide the switch? Because as soon as you slide the switch, it's like when you face a temptation, brothers and sisters, you know this personally, I'm sure you do. When you face a really difficult situation and you cry out, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this. I need your help. Does Jesus just not hear you? No. No, if we're walking in obedience to God and we have a relationship with God, Jesus always hears. And he delivers and he helps when we do that. So the question is, the point, I'd like to look at a few things that we can do to help us choose to bring honor and glory to God. Number one, verse 1 of chapter 4. Choose to resist our natural tendency. We're wired to not turn on when the pressure comes. When the pressure comes, just see what happens, let everything go. Well, look around in the world around us. That's what happens. And the result is chaos and destruction. So I think for the Christian, one of the fundamental or things that we need to understand, that these things, from whence come wars and fightings among you, from myself, come they not hence even of my own lust that war in my members? We are programmed to not bring glory and honor to God. We need to understand that, brothers and sisters. If we don't purpose in our heart to bring glory to God, it's not going to happen. So I challenge you and myself, are you purposing in your heart to bring glory to God? You get up in the morning, Lord, help me. I want to. I am going to be committed today to bring glory to you. Because if we don't get that serious about it, I don't think it's going to happen. Sometimes I think that I believe that that's God's job. You know, if I just, God has superpower that he can deliver and help, and he does. But we have to choose first First we choose, and then God can bless us. We have a carnal nature that naturally chooses to focus away from God. If we're going to glorify God, it's going to have to come from an intentional choice. Let's realize our tendency toward wrong and make the choice to ask God for his enabling grace and strength. Don't throw your paddle away. You're going to need it. It's going to take a lot of effort. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting." Are people just going to coast into this? Absolutely not. We need to choose to resist these natural tendencies. Choosing to focus on doing what God wants us to do brings glory and honor to God. Number two, jump down to verse 4, and I'll say this. There's so many things in this chapter that we could look at. I apologize for the ones I just skipped for time. But number 4, or verse 4, choose to walk away from worldliness. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You think you can handle it on your own, on my own? It's not going to happen, for sure. We need God. We need God's help, his strength. We need him. And he's not going to be there if we're a friend of the world. Or am I? Are you a friend to the world? Let's take just a quick look at that question. Am I a friend of the world? A friend is someone that has similar interests. So what do you really enjoy? What do you really sink into, really connect with? Where have you been? Friends enjoy doing things together. Who do you enjoy being with? Do you enjoy practicing holiness? Do you enjoy fellowshipping around the things of God? Or do you find that there's other things that you'd rather discuss or talk about? I think the answer to that question defines who our friend is. When you face, whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Be a friend to God. Be a friend to God, and then that will bring glory to God. Choose to walk away from worldliness. That was number two. Number three, jump down to verse 6. Choose to be humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Did Saul start out as a good king this morning in our devotions? I was always impressed with Saul. Wasn't he hiding among the boxes? He didn't seem like he wanted to be the king. All the stuff. But somehow, through time, that humility seemed to go away. Proverbs 6, verse 16, actually verse 17. Verse 16 says, there's six things that the Lord hates. First one, verse 17, you know what it is? It's a proud look. God hates pride. He hates a proud look. Who is responsible for our humility? Read a couple verses real quick. First Peter, actually it's the next page in some, two pages in some of your Bibles. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Who's supposed to do that? Who's supposed to humble you? Me. You. Humble yourself. Matthew 18, verse 4, "Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 23:12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Verse 10 in our same text here in James. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Who's going to do it? Brothers and sisters, it's a choice. We're going to have to take that responsibility upon ourselves and choose to do it. We can ask God to help us. But if I've got a proud look, if I've got a chip on my shoulder about myself, we can't expect God to be there. When we're in that, under that pressure, under that stress, if we're proud, we're not going to shine as that light that God wants us to do. The next thing, verse 7. We need to, number 4, verse 7, choose to submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You like to submit? It's a little difficult for me. Submission is imperative to the Christian life. Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them all, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, he got to deny himself. Take up that cross and follow me. We're over in that little dark corner. Stress and pressure's on. Brothers and sisters, it's a choice. Are you going to slide it? God, it's okay. I'll do this for you. I know what you want me to do. And I want to bring glory and honor to you, and I'm going to do it. May that be the case. As you think about those verses, Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Does Jesus say, play by your own rules? Stand up for your rights, protect yourself? That's not the Christian life. We can't bring glory and honor to God by doing that. We need to choose to submit. God, it's okay. I don't understand. I'm not sure what all you're trying to teach me, but I want to learn and I want to be faithful to you. Help me to do your will. Choose to submit. Number 5, verse 8. Draw nigh to God. Choose to draw nigh to God. God desires a relationship with us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Thought about that, maybe it was in our devotions or Sunday school somewhere, that, you know, one of the most important things in the Christian life is prayer. I think it was one of the songs that we sang. Can't remember. But God desires us to draw near to Him. Isn't it in this verse? Yeah, draw nigh to God. What's He going to do? I'll think about it. If you do the right things, I'll draw near to you. If we reach out to God, He's coming. He will help us. He'll be there for us. We need to choose to draw near to God. Think about the story in Mark. Actually, it's Mark, I think. The disciples are out, and they're under stress. The waves are just beating over the ship, and they feel like they're going to sink, and they look out. And you know what it says in Mark? I think it's Mark 6. It says that, and Jesus would have passed them by. Gotta be kidding. The disciples are out there. The boat's going to sink. They're under pressure. They're under stress. And it says, and Jesus would have passed them by, but they called out to him. They called out to Jesus. How many times when we face the difficulties in life, is Jesus just waiting? He's walking back and forth. I want to help. But you're going to have to reach out to me and help and ask me. Draw nigh to God. Number 6, verse 8, again. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Choose to avoid practicing sin. God is a holy God, and He does not sin. Never did, never will. And He doesn't tolerate sin. He sent Christ to take care of that for us so that we can have a relationship for Him. We cannot practice sin. We need to choose to avoid sin so that we can expect God to be there and help us. If I dabble in things that, man, I know I shouldn't do that, and I'll try not to do that so much. Brothers and sisters, when you face that test, that hard thing in life, you're going to have the strength to ask Jesus to help you? Not if we're practicing sin. If there's things in our life that are not right, we cannot expect to have access to the power to help us overcome sin. What are some things that we can do to avoid practicing sin? Make yourself accountable. Take action to avoid those kind of things. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that aisle. Intentionally flee. Joseph left his coat in that lady's hands. Gone. Made a choice. I will not do that. I am going to do the right thing. I'm going to flee. Choose to avoid practicing sin. Choosing to allow the blood of Christ to cleanse our hearts from sin brings honor and glory to God. Number 7, choose to abstain from speaking evil. Look at verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Let's read that again and really think about that, because there's a question I wish we could discuss. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. We get that. I understand what that means. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. That's what I'd like to ask you to explain. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. What does it mean when it says speak evil of the law and judges the law? I would welcome your input, but I do have a few thoughts. As I thought about that and prayed about it, the law condemns all evil speaking and detraction. Condemns it. All evil speaking and detraction. Unkind things about other people are condemned. 1 John 3, verse 14, and we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Abideth in death. Bringing glory to God? No. Absolutely not. A person who is guilty of speaking evil of his brother and allows himself into these kind of vices finds myself in the habit of degrading brothers and sisters, saying unkind things about them, disrespectful things, negative things. When I find myself in those kind of vices, I am, in reality, judging and condemning the law. By speaking evil of my brother, I consider the law to be unworthy, and it doesn't matter if we do this or not. I'm condemning the law. This is really serious. Do you want your light to come on? Do you want to bring honor and glory to God? There's a couple laws that we have to follow and have to practice. And one of them is to abstain from speaking evil of our brother. Have you ever done that? Have I ever done that? Evil, anything. I have. And I can't expect to bring glory and honor to God by doing that. Brothers and sisters, that's something I'd like to do better in. And I welcome you to join me. We need to work together on this. And we need to do this if we're going to be faithful. We need to choose to abstain from speaking evil about our brothers. Because we will not bring glory and honor to God. A little quote from my mom that I heard when I was young. If you can't say something nice about that person, then I want you to close your mouth. That sticks with me. And I want to be more faithful in obeying that and doing that. I want to bring honor and glory to God. And I want to abstain from speaking evil about my brother. Number 8, verse 13 and 14. Choose to trust God. Back to James 4, verse 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, I'm going to do this. I have it all planned out. This is what's going to happen. This is what we're doing. We need to choose to trust God. When facing hard times, I tend to worry, tend to get anxious. It's easy to look for a wrench or a lever to fix the problem. There's an issue. What are we going to do to solve this? Which lever did Saul pull after he waited 7 days for Samuel? I can't wait anymore. It's got to happen. We're doing it. And he offered the sacrifice. And as soon as he did, that story just, yeah. I don't know. I have some questions about that. I believe it for sure. But I see myself quite well. Let's wait for God. Choose to trust God. Sometimes there is a lever. Sometimes there's something obvious that God is asking us to do. And when that happens, we can't. That's the last point. We're going to look at that in just a minute. When God is asking us to do something, we need to do it. But if we're not sure and we're asking God, let's trust him. We need faith. Choosing to trust God brings honor and glory to him. God, you're in control. Help me to know what to do in this situation. Help me to make the right choice. And then to have the strength and power to do that or to wait on you. Number 9, verse 17. Choose to do what we know God is asking us to do. My mind went to the story of Balaam. God told him what to do, and it wasn't what Balaam wanted to do. He wanted to go with them. I think he wanted the stuff. I don't know. But he wanted to go with them. So we ask, Lord, for sure, really? I procrastinate. I think up excuses. You know, I can't do that. I don't want to. There's got to be an easier way, a better way. We try to reason with God. But you know what we're doing? When I do that, you know what I'm doing? I'm just flat disobeying God. Just disobeying him. What's God going to do with disobedience? He can't bless that. That doesn't turn the light on. Choose to do what we know God is doing. Let's act and be obedient. Be faithful in that. There's a lot more in there, but that's all I have. You going to turn your light on this morning? Has your light been on? The choice is ours. The choice is ours. As we face, brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of opportunity to glorify God. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of negative, even in our own families, in our own homes. Let's be real. There's challenges. There's questions. There's hard times. There's things in, as you relate as a family, things you wish maybe were different. Sometimes you're not sure how to deal with them, and it can be frustrating. When you're tempted to be frustrated, just such a simple illustration. Could you just remember that light bulb? This week, my prayer would be that as you face trials and tough things, that the Holy Spirit would just remind us of that little light bulb. Jesus, am I going, or brother or sister, are you going to choose to bring honor and glory to God through this situation? Or am I just going to get frustrated, bent out of shape, upset? I can't handle this anymore. That little song that the children sang, This Little Light of Mine. And then the last verse we all sang together, I'm going to let it shine. What, I forget the last verse. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Turn that light on. By God's grace, the power, the strength is available to his people to shine and be faithful in doing that. May God bless us, help us, and help us to reach out to him and turn the light on. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, as we kneel before you this morning, thank you for your word and the teaching in your word. There is a right way. And there's a way that you are holding out for your people to walk in and to do. It's our desire, Lord, to obey you and to do that. Thank you for being a God of mercy and love. And for sending Jesus in the times that we haven't turned our lights on, we haven't done the right thing. It's sin. It's wrong. Thank you for the blood of Christ that can forgive us and help us to do better. Lord, I just pray for the brothers and sisters here. Lord, I really believe, I know in my heart that they want to do what's right. Each of us do, Lord. But as we face those tough things, it's hard. You understand because you walked here with us or among the people. You understand these hard things. You faced a lot more than what we do. Lord, give us strength. Give us a vision. Let's help each other. Give us a love for each other to help encourage others, our fellow brothers and sisters, to shine for you. And as we face difficulties, that we'd be there for each other and help to encourage and strengthen. Thank you for the desire of each one to do what's right. Continue to guide us, Lord, because we know that if we submit our will to you and we walk in obedience, you can be blessed. You will be blessed. So we just ask that you would help us to do that. Give us strength and wisdom, and may we each be faithful to you through this coming week and through the time ahead. Pray this through Jesus. Amen.